I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Over the past week, as attention has been on U.S.-Iran relations, a familiar refrain has played out from some on the right.
The only ones that are mourning the loss of Soleimani are our Democrat leadership.
Nancy Pelosi does it again, and her Democrats fall right in line. One, they're in love with terrorists. We see that. They mourn Soleimani more than they mourn our Gold Star families, who are the ones who suffered under Soleimani.
That's former U.N. Ambassador and Governor Nikki Haley and GOP House member Doug Collins speaking this week. But the accusation has been made about journalists as well.
I bemoan the fact, especially even since the Iraq War, that it feels like patriotism is largely dead amongst our journalism corps. Well, where's the home team for a lot of these people? Taking a moment to cheer and appreciate that when America kills one of our enemies on the battlefield, that's a good thing. It just doesn't feel like that exists much anymore.
Right.
That's Pete Hegseth of Fox News this past Saturday. And Hegseth isn't the first commentator or pundit to question journalists' loyalty or patriotism, especially in the midst of a national crisis, in the aftermath of the September 11th terrorist attacks, and in the lead-up to the invasion of Iraq in 2003, similar conversations unfolded.
Do you believe that Ms. Amanpour, as Ms. Professor Byers does, has been a fair correspondent in this conflict?
Well, quite frankly, no, I don't.
I think that the coverage of the war by NBC seems bizarrely focused only on the IEDs, when stories that are so fascinating and interesting, those stories are out there for anyone to get.
It is somewhat institutional, and there is partisanship on the part of the media. Do you see the same thing?
Scheer is perhaps the most radical journalist writing in a major newspaper today, and his moral indignation and blatant anti-Americanism is revolting.
Joining me now to discuss the relationship between journalism and patriotism is Paul Fahre, staff writer and media reporter for The Washington Post. Paul, glad to have you with us.
Thanks very much, Tanzina.
We're also joined by Aaron Haynes, a political reporter covering the 2020 election. Aaron, thanks for being with us as always.
Happy 2020. Great to be back with you.
So we're starting off the year, Paul, with this debate that we're back into about journalism and patriotism. You wrote about this for The Washington Post. In the eyes of Trump supporters and commentators, as we heard at the top of Fox News in particular, what is patriotism?
Well, in their definition, patriotism is loyalty to the people in power, the government that has been elected. That's not the way journalists would define patriotism. In doing our jobs, we are patriotic by questioning the people in power. And that's the fundamental break and the fundamental difference and why they're critical of us.
Aaron, you tweeted about this yesterday, and you said, quote, "We as journalists, I should say, are in the Constitution. This is among the most American of jobs." So to that point, Aaron, why are journalism and patriotism so often framed by commentators as incompatible?
Thank you for the question, Tanzina. And let's just take a moment to back up and be very clear on what freedom of the press is and is not. And let's start by just reading what the First Amendment says for people who maybe don't remember that, which is that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, I mean, for us, like Paul said, the home team doesn't change. It's truth and democracy. And as journalists, we are really at our most patriotic when we are speaking truth to power, shining a light on injustice and wrongdoing and holding the powerful accountable, even when that work happens in wartime and even when those in government are the subject of that journalism. And, at first it was frustrating for me, which is why I took to Twitter. But then, I remembered that attacks on the press are as old as our democracy, which is likely why the framers protected press freedom in the first place by codifying it in our founding documents. So on the one hand, I do understand that I'm having some version of the same argument that Americans who came before me who were members of the press had with their fellow citizens. But on the other, it is kind of frustrating that more than two centuries after the First Amendment was added to the Constitution, that more people just really don't understand for the need for a free press or how that works.
And to that point, Paul, I mean, this is an argument that's resurfaced multiple times. We've seen it. We just heard some clips from the top of the show here about post 9/11. There were the weeks and months before the invasion of Iraq in 2003. Give us a sense of some other moments in U.S. history where we've seen this debate surface.
Well, one that I think a lot of people would remember because it was a great movie made about it is the Pentagon Papers. Back in 1971, the Washington Post and the New York Times published this secret account of the Vietnam War. It was immediately criticized by the Nixon administration, which went to court to stop the publication of the Pentagon Papers. And we were deemed, we in the press, the Times and the Post, were deemed unpatriotic for exposing what the government itself was secretly saying about the Vietnam War. And then you had the government telling us we couldn't publish those that information. So this has a very long history. I imagine it goes, it predates America itself and goes back to any kind of wartime and any kind of correspondent who covered that war. The people in power hate it when they are questioned, especially during an emergency. And so it's almost, I don't know, reflexive or natural that people who are conducting warfare don't want their actions questioned.
Aaron, I'm wondering also, I mean, you just read us the actual constitutional text here that protects freedom of the press. How much of this is rooted in what Americans don't understand about what journalists are supposed to be doing, literally what our job is?
I think quite a bit. And I know, you know, that lack of understanding may be due to any number of factors. But what I do think is especially true in this particular climate and moment in our country is really that partisan distrust of the media is fueling questions like the one that Paul raises in his article. And that's an important point, particularly in this age of disinformation, where there are those who would corrupt the public trust for their own ends. I mean, the value of free and fair press is really more important and more American than ever. And the threat to a free and fair press is very real today, both in this country and around the world. And while the First Amendment does not guarantee my job, as you know, some people, I guess, kind of interpreted from what I tweeted, that is not what I'm suggesting, but it does guarantee my right to do my job. And that's a right that I take seriously and attempt to carry out with integrity every single day. And I know hundreds of journalists that are doing the same thing in newsrooms around the world. And they are an essential part of our democracy, because I know that the work that we do, that pursuit of truth and effort to right wrongs, you know, which is the mission of so many of us that got into this business, is in furtherance of this democracy and of perfecting our union.
And Aaron, to that point, I mean, when it comes to comments, as we've heard, particularly from the administration and I think increasingly in more conservative media circles, that comments like fake news, comments like we are the enemy of the people. Do you think those are, in addition to the fact that our patriotism, quote unquote, is being challenged, do those actually undermine the news media further?
I would say absolutely. You know, I think that we have seen in recent polling that reflected in people's feelings toward the media. Certainly, those poll results are you can see them playing out along partisan lines, and so that is a message that is resonating, you know, with a lot of our fellow citizens. But you know, sometimes journalists and always genius, one of my favorite people, James Baldwin, said, I love America more than any other country in the world. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. And I would posit that many journalists feel the same way, regardless of their color, creed, or political affiliation.
Paul, let's talk a little bit about another emerging line of thought that's coming out here, because some conservatives are claiming that reporters are tougher on our own government compared to adversarial governments or foreign governments. Is there any truth to that claim?
Well, it only looks that way because we live in a democracy in which access by reporters to people in power is, in effect, guaranteed. In Iran, in North Korea, in Russia, in other countries, reporters don't have the same rights, and reporters are often murdered by the regime. So to compare the way we treat our own government, in which the comment is essentially free, as opposed to covering other countries where you can't get access, is an absurd disparity. And we are tougher on our own government because we can write more about our government. We can't get access to interviews. We can't get access to important people in power in those countries to question them. And that's why it just seems like it's an unlevel playing field. But in fact, if we had the same rights in those countries, we would report just as toughly as we do in America.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned earlier the Pentagon Papers, because when you watch the film All the President's Men, there is a sense that, you know, at least initially, that these two men, Woodward and Bernstein, were held up as patriots to a certain extent. Have there been moments, Paul, in history where journalists have been framed as, dare I say, patriotic?
Well, you know, we forget about Watergate, about how attacked and vilified Woodward and Bernstein were, and the Washington Post was during the time at which they were reporting those stories. The Nixon administration press secretary Ron Ziegler was getting on television and saying many of the things that are being said today. The Washington Post is trash. It's garbage. Its reporting is not true. In hindsight, you know, with the great perspective of history, this looks like a great journalistic monument to the First Amendment and to the country. But at the time, it was very controversial. And this is typically the thing, typically the case, that we tend to view it in real time as something subversive, when in fact, in hindsight, it looks like a contribution to America.
Aaron, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Aaron.
I was going to say, Paul is exactly right on that point. And really, you know, when I think about, you know, journalists who I also consider patriots, I think about the black journalists who frankly were speaking truth to power, even at a time, you know, when, you know, the framers certainly didn't envision people like me practicing journalism. And yet, had it not been for truth tellers like Ida B. Wells, who wrote to expose the lynching of her fellow citizens, many of them service members by other fellow citizens, we wouldn't have that record. Or the fearless members of the black press like Simeon Booker, who also bore witness to the atrocities of Jim Crow, which was not a war in the sense that many of us think of, but was absolutely a war on black people in this country. History remembers them well now, but certainly at the time, you know, they were not seen as patriotic for calling out those injustices.
And to that point, Paul, I mean, how do you see this playing out in the near future? I mean, this is the U.S.-Iran relations going to remain in the spotlight for a while. Should we expect more of these questions about patriotism, loyalty, and journalism?
Yes, of course we should, because the president has made criticizing the press and undermining the press a feature of his presidency. We don't need a war for him to call us fake news or for him to call us enemy of the people. He's been doing that for several years. So as things heat up and as the country gets more and more nervous about the conduct of our foreign policy, you can expect this to ramp up even further.
Paul Fahrey is a staff writer and media reporter for The Washington Post, and Aaron Haynes is a political reporter covering the 2020 election. Aaron and Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.